The Hard Shoulder.
With the all-new MG HS plug-in hybrid. Petrol freedom plus up to 120 kilometres electric range. MG. Recharge your soul.
Now, you join us once again on The Hard Shoulder. As you know, this is when we do Winners and Sinners. This is the exact moment when we have a big chat about all the things that have moved us a little bit during the last few days. And Niamh O'Reilly, who is a freelance journalist, is with me. And Saoirse Hanley, who is a writer for The Independent, she's also with me. Both of you, very welcome.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Good years and all that.
Yes.
Good last years and good future years.
Hopefully, yeah.
Fingers crossed.
So far, so good. We're only in it.
Nothing bad has happened, okay, so far.
Touch wood.
Yes.
Do you want to just wrap it up now, the whole year, just say we're done?
Right? That was a great year.
Yeah, let's call it a day.
Okay, well, let's try and get it up to a good start for both of you. Let's talk a little bit about your winner that you've selected. Niamh, you're actually into the Christmas thing. You're sort of being very active and you've been very sort of organised and coordinated and everything.
These are down, lads.
So your winner is just getting stuff done now.
Getting the decorations down. Like, I'm not a Grinch. I absolutely love Christmas, right? And I have two kids who are 6 and 9, slap bang in the magical era. We've had a lovely Christmas. I love it, all of that. But I cannot wait to take down the decorations. I do it on the 1st of January every year. I'd do it sooner if I could, but my children obviously wouldn't allow that. And that's fine. But maybe when they're older, they will. Did it yesterday, New Year's Day. Took everything down and it was right pain. I don't look forward to doing it, but I'm so glad the house is decluttered and de-Christmased. And I can breathe again and January has begun and I highly recommend doing it like sooner rather than later. I know some people...
January 6th, is it, or 8th? You hear these different dates.
Yeah, they say that's the day you're supposed to take it down and certainly not after that or it's so-called bad luck. But I would say, lads, look, if like me, you live in a small house and like you've had the decorations up for, I don't know, the guts of 2 months, it's okay to take them down on the 1st of January.
And how do you view people who don't? You drive past and you go, these people are a bit odd, still leaving them up.
No, it's, look, each to their own, but I do feel quite smug and I do have a sigh of, I'm so glad it's done and I don't still have to do it because I don't think anyone likes taking down the decorations. It's sad because Christmas is over.
What kind of Christmas tree have you got?
It's fake.
Yeah, so that makes a difference because you can just put it back somewhere. But if it's a natural, you've got to wait till the council open up there.
Every single year. Without fail, I look at the dates for Christmas tree drop-off that the council does and I think, perfect, I'm going to be so organised. Every single year, I'm on the last day, in the last hour. I actually, at one point, 1 year, had to just kind of leave it there and hope it did get picked up because I was like, this is desperate. And it's always, like, as you're talking there, I'm thinking, that's normally like the 17th of January. But this year I won't.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, my boyfriend now has already started talking about the tree being gone.
Yes.
So the worst part
of it is the lights. I don't know about you guys. I hate taking off the lights. And I want to pass on a tip that maybe people already know, but I didn't know this until a few years ago and I do it every year, right? So get a piece of either stiff card or wood if you have it hanging around. And when you take the lights off, wind the lights around the card.
Okay.
So that means you're
this
not
is your health and safety tip.
Well,
you're free.
Sort of. Like, it's a present to yourself for next Christmas because when you take your lights down,
they'll be in good condition and not all tangled. Yeah.
They're not in a big ball. And also, the sweetener on this is get a 50-euro note if you had it. I only had a tenner left after Christmas. Put it inside the lights, wrap the lights around it. So when you take this whole thing down from the attic in December, not only will your lights be just so super easy to put on the tree, you will also have some money to buy yourself a drink or a treat or something like that.
That's a good one.
So it's a pain. But I would say do it.
So you're on, it's sort of like preparing for next year already. You make putting in an early investment.
Definitely. My kid even put like a little time capsule note to himself. He was like, dear me, I hope you have a lovely Christmas and I've had a lovely year.
That's so nice.
And we put the money in and we wrapped the lights up. And so like, it took ages.
Did he leave a little note saying, Santa wasn't that good? You know, if it's Santa, it'll be better next year.
Oh God, I hope. Yeah, yeah. But I highly recommend doing that.
The other thing is your natural tree, when you do bring into the resort, this has been the sort of repository of all your emotions over Christmas. And they just fling it into a machine that turns into wood chips.
It's quite sad.
It just sort of looks like, that's all that my tree is worth.
Maybe it's because I'm leaving it so late, but they tend to get a bit sad by the end.
Yeah, are there any? Are the needles dropping off and stuff?
Again, similarly, we have a very small apartment, so it's kind of plonked in the middle of the room, basically, and you have to walk past it to get to the other side, and we're brushing off a lot of pines. But I think it is starting. You can see it drying a small bit. I think it will just be time to go. But it is, I do think... Even if you're not necessarily cleaning, the fact that you're putting some stuff away, it feels cleaner. Like, I was at home at my family's house at Christmas, and like that now, in the couple of days after, my mom came into the sitting room and she was like, Christmas cards. They're going first.
Oh, yes.
Cards went.
Then was there ruthlessness there, you know?
It was really ruthless.
Scary.
I've seen the likes of it. I was like, oh my God, she's
turned
over a new leaf.
I'm with her.
Next day, it was like the pictures that we have a couple of pictures of like visiting Santa over the years.
It's good to see that Christmas cards still exist.
They did.
Apparently it's,
oh, yeah.
I mean, my mom works in a school as well. She's an SNA, so she gets loads of lovely cards off the kids. But they were supped away gently and carefully straight after. And then I think next will be the gonks and then the tree will be gone and that'll be it.
But did you find that one of the scary things about all of this is the amount of stuff we accumulate, the waste, the packaging, like...
The packaging, I still have a box that Santa brought something in and stupidly I sort of encouraged my kids. This was obviously like when I was still, you know, full of Christmas spirit. I said, oh, that's a really big box. You could get in that and like play with it. And they did and we called it HMS Boxy and they've like put little like seat belts in it and both played in it. It's in bits. And I'm like, lads, do you think we could get rid of HMS Boxy now at this point? I'm so ready to get rid. It's been decommissioned. I want to dance on it and throw it in the recycle bin as soon as possible. A lot of packaging, like, and packaging.
You're
packaging.
A mini Stacey Solomon, you know, you're going to strip down the whole house. And,
oh, God. If you saw,
what do you want to keep and what do you not want to keep?
If you saw my house, it's definitely not Stacey Solomon. Like, I live in a child's playroom, basically. There's stickers on everything.
Maybe
surface,
you need to hire, you know. You hire
I need to hire her in to declutter my house. But I do love going around with a black bag at this time of year and just putting everything in it.
Yeah.
Like anything at all.
You're putting all of us to shame.
I am. In there, the
kids,
whatever
stimulation
in your way.
You just get in there. I don't know what to do.
Saoirse,
with you.
Yeah. Based on your pick, right, and maybe I'm being very unfair, it sounds like you've been watching television, not decluttering. You've been watching and enjoying your television. So what's been coming
to
your attention?
No tidying whatsoever. Is watching
your winner.
Telly. My winner is Stranger Things because it ended yesterday.
Oh my God.
I've only just stopped crying. Not even because I'm not going to spoil anything, but not even over anything particularly sad. I would cry anyway, I'd cry at anything, but I just get very nostalgic when things are coming to a close. And it's like when any TV show ends, or like when, you know, the Harry Potter series ended, the last film came out, and you've got all of these actors and people that have been together and doing this thing together for so long. And
but it may come back, you never know. Nothing is ever dead in television.
They're definitely going to beat that. I'm telling you, I think the directors, the Duffer Brothers, were talking about that recently. They were like, oh, we might do a spin-off of this and this, which is fine. If they do, I'm sure I'll watch. But this particular chapter came to a close after 10 years. And it's
10 years.
10 years. It started, I was 18 when it started.
Oh my God.
Yeah, 10 years. And I feel a lot more
That's quite
like,
emotional for you then, because you were, you know, a teenager.
I know. When I think of the likes of my sister, like she was 8 when it came out, which was kind of, you know, the characters are about 12 in the first season, if not younger. So for her, it's particularly growing up with it, but it just, it ending, and I think
and did it keep it? Because I read the reviews, and you're not going to like me for this bit, but they were saying it had run a bit of momentum drop and all
did.
Of that.
It definitely did, because they released it in stages. You had Volume 1 come out in November, Volume 2 come out on Christmas Day. Well, I think it was Stephen's Day for us, because we were obviously not in the US. And then the last final episode dropped. Now, each episode was about an hour, so you were getting a lot of bang for your buck. The first volume, I loved. It ended spectacularly. It was really exciting, high octane. And then the second part, it was losing me a small bit, and I was losing the faith a small bit. And I actually rewatched it, because when I came back up from Cork, my boyfriend hadn't caught up, so we had to catch up again so we could watch the finale yesterday. And I had low hopes going into it, but it honestly, I came out of it so happy that it was done well. Because I recently rewatched Game of Thrones and I skipped the last season because I was like, I can't do it myself again. It was the worst. And things like Pretty Little Liars, what I watched on a teenage, that ended awfully. You have people tying up all these loose ends that don't make sense, and it's just, it ends up bad, and you feel like you've invested all of this time and energy into something and it's not been given back to you. So to come out of it feeling like it was done well, it ended well, everything, you knew where you were, and you were able to like have this really nice nostalgic, again, without giving anything away, there's quite a lengthy epilogue. Like,
is there okay?
Quite a long one at the end, which I think it needed, because again, you're closing a chapter of...
And was everything wrapped up? Did you leave it going, right, I know everyone, that happened to everyone and it's all good? Are you going, no, they didn't I'm still a bit confused about this bit, or...
There's definitely plot holes, because I'm not like, I was, as we were watching it yesterday, I asked my boyfriend something about this kind of like theoretical aspect of the world they inhabit. And
like, did it end up like a nicely decluttered present that could be put away?
Everything was put into the plastic bag. No, but there was a couple of things where I was like, I still don't know why we did that like 2 seasons ago, where I don't really know where that character came from, where they went, but I kind of by the end didn't care.
Yeah.
But to a certain extent, like, there's some people, you know, I came online after because I had obviously blocked myself from all social media so I wouldn't get any spoilers. And there was a few people criticizing the ending, saying not enough of this happened, too much of this happened, blah, 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 as they always do when these things go on. But I came out of it really satisfied. And I think a lot of...
Yeah, we've been talking about finales and ones you really care about. So, you know, you really got into this one. Yeah,
and it really, it did the job. It ticked all the boxes for me. I came out of it feeling like really happy that it was, it ended the way it did.
Yeah.
In terms of finales generally, well, is this the best finale you've seen, or is it other ones that
you... Definitely the best in a while, because as I say, like, I think it's hard to stick a landing. Like, I'm no gymnast. But
do you remember Lost?
Oh my God, yes.
I'm still triggered by that. Like, I don't want to say how many years later, like, Lost was, but...
I watched it for the first time.
Did you?
The year before last.
Okay.
First time ever. And I'd never seen it.
Terrible.
Did you think?
Oh, I hated the ending. I just
really?
Felt like, what have I invested? Was it 10 series or something?
I think it was about...
It was a lot.
Because every season, it wasn't like it is now where seasons have like 8 episodes.
I know. It was like 20.
It used to be like 20.
Oh,
odd.
Remember
yeah.
Buffy? Well, I'm a huge Buffy fan, and they used to be like 25 or 30 episodes.
But years ago, you had The Sopranos, which everyone just didn't understand the ending.
That was good.
You follow what I'm saying? Like, so at least you're going away. I get it. Okay. The Sopranos, everyone went, what was that?
Yeah. And that is the thing. I think, like that, you have this kind of sunk cost fallacy of like, oh my God.
I've come this far. I need payoff.
Something. It doesn't have to be a closure, but you need to feel. As you said, you felt an emotional kind of closure to these characters. I think that's
like,
really satisfying.
I was like, yeah, we've been in it. I've been here.
But leaves a hole because you're like, I used to watch this every whatever time you watched it, right?
Yeah, and you always had to look forward to.
Have you got something else lined up for 26?
Well,
that can fill that hole.
I was actually writing about this at the weekend about predictions, and one of the predictions I had that you can read more about in the Sunday Independent was that I think with it ending, obviously it's been Netflix's big, huge, you know, project over 10 years. And they still have the likes of Bridgerton and stuff to keep it up. But I think there's going to be room now for the next big show.
You know,
the next big thing.
For sure.
I do think with HBO Max launching later this year, I do think that's going to have a bit of an impact because we'll have access to more shows that we maybe didn't before.
Yeah.
I think The Pit, when we can finally access it in Ireland.
Oh,
I watched it on a plane recently.
Oh, it's good.
It's amazing. It's as good as they say it is.
Why do we have to wait so long?
I think it's because they've been holding out for HBO Max.
Because it builds the expectation.
And it has.
It does,
but
like,
hopefully not too much.
Bringing me back to my ER days.
Yes.
I mean, I just can't wait.
So
Noah Wiley, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it's great television.
It's awesome.
It's fantastic.
Great things being said about it. Yeah, I can't wait for it.
Okay, listen, we're going to have to stop and wait for your Sinners for Feelings because we have Eamon standing by with news. Okay, thank you, Eamon. Now, of course, listening to The Hard Shoulder with me, Emmett Oliver, and here in the studio with me is Saoirse Hanley, who is a writer for The Independent, and Eva Riley's a freelance journalist. Ladies, thank you for staying, you know, because that next bit is interesting. We are into our Sinners. We're wading into maybe a little bit more controversial territory. Saoirse, no lignum bon right now.
Yes.
What you're going to, at least what I think you're going to say, well, I don't know what you're going to say, obviously, but what I think you're going to say, I probably can't say, but you can say, if that makes well, anyway, it'll all become clear as you tell us.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes, I'm not a fan of Nullag na Mann. And I do think I've inherited this from my mother. She's a very independent woman. She's a very amazing woman. And also, like, for a long time, because my dad died a long time ago, she's been a single mother for most of my life. And obviously that means that a lot of labour naturally falls to her, obviously, as the, you know, the sole parent for a long time. But outside of that context, I do think it's a little bit condescending to have this kind of day in January where it's like, oh, well done, women. You did fantastic over Christmas. You deserve to have a little treat.
A little day off.
A little
Put
away the ironing and get out and go and get a scone with your girls.
You've been a great lady over the Christmas.
You've been a great, lovely lady.
But buy yourself something nice now.
So what do you put its endurance down to? And lots of people who will text it and say it's... So the other side, what is their defence of it?
Well, the thing is, like, there is still an imbalance of labour over Christmas time. That still exists. And I don't think that the two things have to be mutually exclusive. Like, I do think we can admit the fact that the majority of, in a lot of cases, a lot of women do a lot more work around Christmas, whether it's like upholding the magic of Christmas or doing the basics, the cooking, the cleaning, the decluttering.
me and my black bag.
Things like present buying for like extended relatives or something. A lot of the time I think women do take that on, and that's not prescriptive. I know that that's not the case in every house. As I say, in my own house it just has to fall that way because we're all women bar my brother, who does cook the turkey. My brother takes over that and he does very well. So I think there is a defense of it in that it's like, yes, we should acknowledge the fact that women do a lot more work over Christmas, and they absolutely should be, you know, acknowledged for that. But I don't know if like a day in January that's just kind of, I know it's tradition and I don't want to say it's arbitrary because, as I say, it's a long...
There is a history behind it,
there
right?
There is, absolutely. And I think it does come from an Ireland of old, slightly more so. because, you know, it's...
Because you've used an interesting word there, a day of acknowledgement. You used the word acknowledgement, which we all feel warm about. But then, you know, then you sort of go tokenistic. You know,
exactly.
Like, in other words, where's the divide in life? Well, there's two words.
Because does one day do it? Just saying, no. Well done, pat on the back, go off and do something nice.
So is it a waste of time trying to do anything at all then? Well, you know, to acknowledge this unequal division of labour and so on?
Yeah, I think like we should be... I think the conversation about acknowledging it is one we should be having. And I think that if it sparks that, fantastic. And I think more women should be treating themselves more often anyway, obviously. But it is interesting because I was flicking through like even just a brochure here for a festival coming up. And the first page I landed on was about an Ullagh na mBan event happening in Whelans in Dublin. And it was like an evening of storytelling and celebration, all these things. And I was like, that's brilliant. That's absolutely. That's if we're using this day as a jumping off point to do these things and have, you know, create interesting cultural events and all of those things, I do think there is benefit to that. But I do think maybe the tradition of like the women having the day off to go and get a dinner somewhere, I just think you should be doing that anyway, and B, we should be acknowledging it more than just with one kind of throwaway day.
And is it likely to be like a lot of things to get hijacked by commercialism? You know, people
absolutely
will jump onto it.
I was reading a column by Lorraine Courtney in the Independent online this morning, and it was basically saying, I was finally nodding along as I was reading it, and she was saying that she was like, it's now just become an excuse for people to capitalise off of that and say, well, you know, we have an early bird menu. And that's not to say restaurateurs shouldn't get the benefit of events. They should, but just especially after Christmas when no one's spending in January. But like, it is just a kind of chance to sell more things to women.
Yeah.
Basically,
like I would much prefer if the mental load was reduced on women in the run up to Christmas. Mm.
I don't need a day, is what you're saying.
A tokenistic day for an old early bird somewhere, which I probably don't want to go to because I'm too exhausted after all of the magic of Christmas and I'm just fit for the couch. I think, like, as Saoirse said there, I mean, in generally speaking, I know it's not always the case, but women tend to carry the mental load of the family anyway, and that gets doubled, tripled, quadrupled in the run up to Christmas. And that's not just December. That starts in November. That starts midnight on the 31st of October. Christmas starts, the shops, it's
in your face. Well, that's actually, I wanted to pick up on it, this whole event-driven thing. This may not connect into your point, but it might. Let's see. The whole Cyber Monday, the whole, like, in other words, these created, I'm not saying this is the same, but these, like,
but
we have to have all these events.
You could see how it would go that way and lose, as you said, like, lose the heart of it. Like, the event you're mentioning sounds lovely, storytelling and that sort of thing. I'd much prefer that than going out for some early bird dinner somewhere that someone slapped together. Sorry, no hate. I'm sure it's delicious. But like, I'd prefer to do something a little bit more meaningful like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And something that's...
You mean a hashtag that says no Ullagh na bOn? That's not meaningful. Come on.
Do you not feel acknowledged
by
that?
No, I certainly do not. But I think there's definitely... I can see it's going to be taken over like more and more by consumerism. And I'm sure this year there's plenty of, you know, events, you know, lined up around selling you dinners or this and
we're going to see like Ullagh na mBan pajamas.
What about merging it with Cyber Monday? You know, Cyber Ullagh na bOn.
I did see a billboard around that time last year where it said Black Friday week starts now or something, and I was like, first of all, it's pretty oxymoronic. Black Friday week. I was like,
your head would explode.
We have just blown up. So we could maybe start shopping for Ullagh na bOn on Cyber Monday. And then
see, there you go.
You could kind of get ready for that, and then obviously, you know, St. Bridget's Day will be next, so we'll have to start getting the St. Bridget's Day, Eve box.
A lot of it's a bit forced, right?
It is. And I just think it does dilute it and it takes us away.
It has to happen. If it's going to happen, it has to happen authentically, which is what you're saying, right?
Organically, absolutely. And like, there's nothing wrong with getting together with your gal pals and spending the day, you know, together. But I think, as you say, it feels a little contrived sometimes. Yeah. And just that sucks, I think, the meaning out of it and what was intended in it. And I do think what would help women more is taking the pressure off them before the 6th of
January. It doesn't address that. It doesn't make it better for next year.
No, you know? Not at all. We'll do the same thing
again. I'm going to send my hashtag now, you know. Hashtag Ullagh na bOn, women's Christmas. I'm sort of there, right? That's all
you're
done.
Grand.
Women's little Christmas. That's terrible.
Well, the word
is. Ullagh na bOn is better.
I like
But women's little Christmas.
A bit icky.
Because it has the book, Little
Women.
I mean, it's just everything is not going well there. Listen, we've kind of dispatched that. There's nothing left of that. We've sort of eviscerated accelerated the whole idea that we'll move on to your one, Niamh. Sinners, people who are, look, on the surface, they're just going to get healthy and go to the gym, but you're not happy.
I have nothing against people getting fit and healthy and getting out and about and, you know, getting off the couch or whatever it is they feel they need to in January. But I do think it turns into some sort of version of self-flagellation, and people are like punishing themselves in the gym, signing up to every High Rocks and CrossFit class imaginable that they've never done.
I now know what
before.
High Rocks is because we did an item a few days ago, so I know what it is. Oh. And once I heard about it, I said it's not
for me.
Right?
Tempted, no, not
once I was told I was low tech.
I don't think January's the time to suddenly start diving in, you know, to that and sign up to maybe three High Rocks classes a week or something. You will do yourself.
So is this the enthusiasm that annoys you, or the way they keep broadcasting about it?
I think it's this narrative that you must go to the gym and you must get fit and you must punish yourself for having fun over Christmas. You really don't have to. I think the opposite is true. And I've nothing against getting fit. I actually think getting outside for a walk is 10 times better than punishing yourself in a gym many times a week. There's nothing wrong with going to the gym.
Hiking is good, personally. I
love a hike.
And look at the weather outside. I know it's cold, but it's crisp and it's dry. And I honestly think go for a walk, 20 minutes, half an hour, is going to do you so much better than killing yourself in a spinning class that you're not used to going to in the first place. And the gyms and swimming pools and fitness classes are rammed. And like, if you are a regular gym goer, or like I'm not, and I'm not going to turn into one, but I do swim. I swim about four times a week in my local pool, and I'm preparing myself for the onslaught of just, it's just going to be so busy. And like, on my way here, driving in today, I drove past a big gym on the M50, and like the overflow car park was full. At this, like it's begun already. So I just think you don't have to kill yourself in the gym.
What do you think of New Year's resolutions? Because they're related to what you're talking about. Yeah,
hate them. Don't make them. Never make them
at all.
No, never. In the past, I did. Like before I had children, I can distinctly remember like broadcasting to everyone I was going on a sackcloth and ashes diet and I wasn't going to eat. Like really.
Now
like,
you have one about wrapping up the presents for the year, right?
But really punishing myself, you know, and I don't know what it is, getting older or having kids and just being more cynical about things, but I don't really go in for resolutions. But having said that, a couple of years ago, I stopped drinking in January. It wasn't dry January. I didn't make an announcement, I am doing dry January. I just didn't fancy it. And I didn't have anything to drink. And before I knew it, like 3 months had gone past and I hadn't had anything. And it was just sort of a silent thing that kind of happened instead of putting pressure on yourself. Now, it happened in January probably because I had enjoyed myself in December and I just didn't fancy it. But I just think don't put pressure on yourself at this time of year. If you want to do something, I mean, think let it happen organically and sort of go along with it if it's happening. But don't say, right, I am going to do X, Y, Z. And if I don't, I will fail.
And there's a bit of somebody who has been known to do the odd jog or whatever. I mean, there's a little bit of an arms race where the guy or woman beside you, you're doing a 5K, they'd be doing a 10K. You go to the gym twice, they're going three times. So you get into that, don't you?
It's only against yourself. I mean, there's no point in comparing yourself to, you know, if you do suddenly go to the gym and the person who does the High Rocks three times a week and you're dying after one session, don't do that to yourself.
Seriously, what's your whole line on people going to the gym at this time of the year? Does it annoy you, or is it just everyone for themselves?
It's kind of funny because I moved house last, the 31st of December last year. So I was in a new house or a new apartment in the 1st of January, and I had to join the local gym because I needed a new gym. And I really felt like I needed to make the distinction. I was like, guys, I'm not here as a new joiner because it's January. I'm a new joiner because I just moved to the locality. Oh, no one cares, but I'm going to tell them all. But I do, I'm a big believer in everyone, you know, if that's how they want to start the year, and self-improvement is great and all these things are fantastic. And as you say, it's nothing against the kind of wanting to get fit. That's not the problem.
You're not saying get unhealthy, folks.
No, like, yeah, so it's get not, out of here. You know. My biggest issue is just for me personally, it just clogs up the gym. That's my only complaint, is that I'm like, oh my God, I'm already in such a massively busy gym and now it's going to be so much worse for a little stretch.
People get very territorial as
they
well.
They do. I already like, don't.
You pick up that blue kettlebell. Well, that's actually Bob's kettlebell that he's uses come take every it off day you. On a Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
Sorry, Bob.
I get a little bit stressed about that on a personal level. But do you know
they're going to leave? They're not going to stick with it. So you can almost, like timing a clock, you know they'll be gone by February or March.
Like, I can just take it easy in the first while, do some other bits and pieces, and then it all calms down again and we'll start where we are. But I think, I do think that it is hard in January because there is that there is that pressure to try and improve everything at once. But I think the vaguer you can be, the better. Like my big, but like I was talking to people the last few days over what, you know, what are your kind of goals for the new year? What are you thinking? I'm not prescriptive with my resolutions per se, but it's kind of more like, oh, I could do with eating more fiber.
Yeah.
Which we all could.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe I'll just eat some more beans.
Doesn't he have a very good point that there's this connection now between gyms and healthy and fitness, whereas you can do lots of other things that aren't gym based to get healthy.
Exactly.
Sorry, gym owners of Ireland, but I mean, you can go for a hike, walk, whatever.
A walk is free.
Yeah. I do think
you could do a park run.
They
could too. Yeah, they're
really
good.
And having a combo of all of these things is great. Because then you're in the gym less anyway, taking up less of the space. But I do think like I'm in a privileged position where I can walk to my gym and I don't have to drive there. But I do think that, as you're saying about the overflow car park, the driving to the gym, like there's people I pass on the way home to or from work and they're waiting to get into the gym in their cars, and you're adding like 20 minutes to half an hour of just sitting in your car before you go. And I actually really feel for them.
Yeah.
So everyone should just start walking 1,000 miles.
I wonder though, and this is a really cynical voice in my head, that do the gym owners almost expect a certain amount of people not to come back? They've got the money either in the bag. And so it's kind of like, oh yeah, goodbye now, but you've already paid us a few payments, or maybe, you know, I mean, sorry, that's a dark
thought. No, I think that's true though.
I think
it's definitely a business model that works.
Yes,
it happens every year.
I've
definitely joined a gym and then stopped going, but still paid for ages afterwards. Because you always think, I might go back.
Also, it's a weather thing. I know people who are in Australia and I see their Olympians and how well they do because they have such a great outdoors life. Yeah. We are forced into gyms to extent this time of the year.
Definitely.
I mean,
it's dark. It's
As somebody who does jogging, it's a January evening, it's lashing rain, it's freezing cold. Who's going to go and do?
I know. And the gym is bright and, you know, and you can watch the telly while you run on a treadmill if you want to.
Exactly. I've done
you
that.
You know, so.
Yeah. Sometimes I read on the treadmill.
Okay. Not
if I'm running. I'll walk.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'll get a few extra steps and I'll read.
That's nice.
Well, I did get a walking pad last year, which has revolutionized things. I can watch telly at home with the walking pad on. I did it last night. It's great.
Brilliant.
It's brilliant. I love it.
You can watch Stranger Things in the gym.
I literally did, yes.
But you can't because it's gone. But you know my point.
I spent an hour on the walking pad watching.
Okay.
It was great.
So funny.
Let me hold your that off there. We will take a short break and we're back in a second.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Now, you're welcome back to The Hard Shoulder with me, Emmett Oliver, and we are doing our winners and sinners, and we've anything else to look at as the week passes. This is an unusual week. Joining me here is Saoirse Hanley, who is a writer for The Independent, and Niamh O'Reilly is a freelance journalist. Both of you very welcome. As I said, it's a strange time of the year. It's kind of we haven't much to discuss. In some sense, we've managed to discuss quite a lot, actually. So how has that happened, you know? Let me stick with you, Niamh. Anything else on your agenda? What else is going on?
Well, it's back to normality on Monday. And I tell you one thing I'm not looking forward to is the traffic. I have really enjoyed there being less traffic over the last couple of weeks and just like not having early starts and not trying to marshal the kids up and where's your socks and where's your shoes and making lunches and getting back on that treadmill of life after school activities and all that stuff. So as much as I'm craving routine, I'm not craving being stuck in traffic. I don't know about you guys, but traffic has just gone bananas. Like I use
it has got very bad
50
yeah,
quite
it
a
has.
Bit
and so I'm on that road it's not good
particularly
it's not
like good.
And it's very unpredictable. Don't know what's going to happen. It's a lottery
really, because practically you can predict now that every day in the morning obviously it's going to be nuts, and the window of when you can actually freely move on it gets shorter and shorter. It's lunchtime onwards now.
If you want to meet someone and the M50's involved, so you're going
to
be and you say I want to meet them at 3, you have to be early because you can't risk being late because it could be hours late.
You have to do what I call mum math. So you have to work backwards and factor in, well, if I want to be there at this time, I've got to leave at, you know, this.
So do you think that it might push a lot more people into work from home who just say, I can't take this traffic anymore.
You know,
I mean, I did COVID and now I'm back.
I think that's a huge reason, you know, getting people back into the office. And, you know, that's probably a debate for a whole other day. There's pros and cons to both. But I think this drive by companies to get people back in the office, you know, at least 3 times a week, if not more, if not full time, it's definitely aiding the return of the traffic.
You see, my theory on it is it's good. Really bad, nasty traffic is good, and I'll tell you why. Hang on a second.
Oh my God.
How are you going to get out of this one?
I don't know.
It's going to prompt action. What I mean by that is the government and their leaders are eventually, if it gets so bad, they'll have to improve
the pension by the time.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I want to live my life.
We will be sacrificed, but I mean, what I mean is, like, what I'm trying to say is,
I don't volunteer to you. I'm sorry.
When you drive to bingo, guys,
like, eventually, the disenchantment over it will get so bad that something might be done.
I don't think so. It's been so bad for like whole life. I don't think traffic has ever been good, apart from during COVID times.
But you're saying it's got particularly bad. It's extra bad or whatever.
It's gotten like, it's like a sort of a, it's gotten worse, obviously. I think since COVID, we can all remember when we were secretly driving, you know, to pretend to go and feed our goldfish or whatever it was. And there was no one on the roads. And it's just boomeranged to like crazy levels.
And we get used to it. We're a bit like kind of a boiling frog in water. We just kind of go, this is just the way
and
it is.
And it's soul destroying. Nothing destroys your mojo more than being stuck in like,
do we need to go more? Do people need to force themselves out of their cars to some extent as well?
You know, I
and
would
get onto
love
public
to,
transport.
But there's, I mean, public transport, I mean, buses just don't appear, you know, and it's just not feasible for me, for example. I can't, there's no school bus for my kids or public transport that they can take. I have to drop them. We can't walk, it's too far. They're after school activities, unfortunately. I can't, you know.
Should we all jump on the bike?
Buses.
Should we all buy electric bikes?
I mean,
they're expensive.
But again, I wouldn't like to be a cyclist in Dublin City, for example. You're taking your life in your hands.
It
you know, you'd want
scary.
To be really
I sometimes
confident.
Cycle very, very
Oh, I
rarely.
Take my hat off to you. It's really scary.
I'm lucky because where I live in Dublin is quite well serviced by cycle lanes for the most part that are segregated, which is the important thing.
Yeah.
But then they just end. You get to the,
then
the, you get into the centre. Well, you just have to be on the road then. And if you're not, I'm not the most confident city cyclist. I'm a very a nice day, I might hop on the bike and take off to the office, but not most, I'd say year round, I'm not on it much. But because I'm not super confident in the city centre on it, I don't think that makes me a very good cyclist, because I then you don't, you're a bit unsure of yourself and you don't know where to come in and come out. And drivers don't care. They don't care whether
they'll
sort of
seize on that to go in front of you.
And also, there's a sort of a war of the tribes at the moment, I get a sense. The cyclists hate the motorists hate the cyclists,
yes,
the pedestrians don't like cyclists.
Yes, and some cyclists
and walkers
hate cyclists.
Walkers don't like anyone. And there is a sort of, because when you meet people, they say, I'm a cyclist, and they say it very firmly. And people who like their cars are like, yes, I drive. Have you a problem with that? There's a slight kind of a... So there is that sort of tribal warfare going
there
on.
There is. And like, I'm really bad for myself that like I sold my car a few years ago, but if I ever do drive, it's often like, say, a rental or a go-car or something. When I am a pedestrian, I'm the best pedestrian in the world. When I'm a driver, I'm obviously the best driver in the world and every pedestrian's bad. So it definitely...
It's self-evident, you're saying.
It is, yeah. And it is, I think, when you're... The mode that you're using is the one that you're going to prefer. Yep. But I do think I do not miss driving a car in the centre at all. I borrowed my very lovely friend Eva's car a while back, and I had to bring it back to her in the office one morning. So I drove in my usual commute, which is like I can walk or I get the bus. And what normally would take like, I don't know, maybe a 35-minute walk or like 15 minutes on the bus and then I'm there. Instead, I spent 25 minutes to 30 minutes stuck in traffic, banging my head off the wheel, being like, people do this every
don't
day.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
They do this all the time. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's such a way.
But you remember,
so bad.
Do you remember Leo, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar had this thing about, you know, people who get up early in the morning. We're all getting up early in the morning.
Yeah,
everyone is to get anywhere,
traffic,
right? We're all to get there, right?
Yeah. I just think for your mental health, especially in winter, you know, when it's dark when you're leaving the house, it's dark when you're coming back and you're stuck in traffic. Some people are stuck an hour each way.
That's awful.
Now, Saoirse, when you're not stuck in traffic or in a car or on a bike or in the gym, you're also in saunas.
Yeah,
what's going on there?
Hot room. Yeah, that's, I just want to be sweaty all the time. The gym that I'm in, I can use a sauna sometimes, which is great. But sometimes I like to use one of the saunas on the beach because they're just nice. And we have lovely beaches in Ireland. You can look out at the water. And even though
our saunas now, like, I mean, I know about saunas in a hotel or whatever, but our saunas in people's backyards. I know people get them, but is this like a full scale trend now?
Oh, it is massive. Okay. Like it is, you go to most beaches in Ireland, even like what the Strand down home in Cove would have a sauna that's occasionally there, kind of comes in and out because they're easy to transport too, or you can have them kind of well set up. So yesterday I went to the Woodfired sauna in, I keep getting Lusk and Rush mixed up in my head. Rush. I keep saying, I was saying Lush yesterday. That's not where I was. I was in Rush.
That sounds nice.
Lush and Lush.
Go to Rush.
That's like a bad tourism strapline.
Rush, and there's a wood-fired sauna there, and it was just gorgeous because you're in the little.
And who do
sauna.
You go with?
Just friends, mine.
Yeah, so, like, but that's a social thing.
Yeah,
as well. Yeah,
well,
okay.
This is the
okay.
thing. So I was there with friends and the other people in the sauna. There was three of us and three other women, and then a man who was there. And the three women knew each other. The man was by himself, and. The reason I wanted to bring this up was because I still don't know what the answer is in terms of, can you talk in the sauna?
Yeah.
Some people think it's really rude, and then some people like think it's fine. I think like for me yesterday, we were talking about swimming in the sea because the sea was out, the tide was out. So you had a bit of an odyssey to get to the shore if you wanted to get in the water. So we used the ice baths instead. Yeah. But I was chatting about this and we were talking about times we'd been in the water and that it was, you know, scary. And I was talking about a time that I was in the Vico baths and it was a really rough day and I shouldn't have gone in, to be totally honest. It was quite unsafe, I think. But a few others were in, so it was fine. We were in the water. It was really scary. I couldn't breathe properly. My swimming togs burst open. So I was like, they're going to find my body naked. This is going to be the worst. So I was telling this story to my friends and the other women who were there, like one of them started laughing. And then the other girl goes, you can't be listening in on conversations. You have to pretend that you're not. So we had this whole thing about it. But like,
but there's nobody in the conversation going, my main point of conversation is it's damn too hot in here.
Well, like,
that's all I want to say.
It's awful warm, isn't it? But like, I was listening to their conversations. They were listening to mine. Yeah. That man who was there by himself was probably involved. But there's no kind of consensus as to what the answer is. I do know, like, there's a hot box sauna in Inchcore in Dublin, and they have a few. They have a sauna village, so you have options of which one you're going into. It's lovely. But one of the ones they have is a silent sauna. Yeah. And you know for certain, okay, you're in there, you're not talking, you're relaxing. Because the whole point is meant to be meditative.
So it's like bringing a library together with a sauna.
Yeah, basically. They have a little sauna library, and you can go in there and be quiet.
You can read books inside.
Well, there's a new business idea. I do think generally, if you're just in a regular sauna, like that now, the sauna in my gym, it's quite, it fills up very fast and it's always busy. And there's lots of people in there and we're all kind of chit chatting and it's fine. But I still don't really know what, because it's very intimate. It's very intimate. In there.
Like you're sitting next to strangers, you know, in your togs,
sweating your pants on. And you're all very,
I think that's a great, it's a great icebreaker, pardon the pun, when you're sitting in there with strangers, because you kind of just start talking, I think, to one another.
I think it's nice.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I think it's nice, and you get a conversation. I've had some great conversations with strangers in saunas, and it's about everything and nothing like that. It's a nice.
Okay, get saunaed, folks. That is the tip.
Sweaty.
Forget the traffic and get sweaty, and there'll be personal contentment somewhere down there. And, you know, but don't talk to the person beside you, whoever they are. They'll be a social. Listen, thank you very much, folks. Saoirse Hanley is a writer for the Irish Independent and Niamh O'Reilly is a freelance journalist.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the all-new MG HS plug-in hybrid. Petrol freedom plus up to 120 kilometres electric range. MG. Recharge your soul.